for quite a while. Heard of you probably first through Pastor Mark Click years ago, and more recent years from Pastor Jamie Gruber. Prayed for you along the way, and it's nice to be here in person. So we're here today, and I have something the Lord laid on my heart to speak about today. I have one verse from 1 Peter chapter 2. I would ask you to turn there because I'm interested in hearing different translations use different verbiage, and I'm interested in a couple words from your translation this morning. We're in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. I'll read it from the ESV. It says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul." The two words I want to focus on there are sojourners and exiles. I looked it up in a couple other translations. I saw other words. I saw strangers and aliens or pilgrims. Anybody have something different in place of those two words? Foreigners, okay. Someone else? Aliens, yeah, that's weird. Do you think of yourself as an alien? How appropriate, I believe, that this is the message today when the Lord laid it on Joe's heart to talk about angels. We've been already this morning talking about beings that are not of this world that come here as ministering spirits and are protectors and guides and messengers to us. And so to continue right on with that message, Peter is telling us here, he's speaking to believers, people who have been born again, people who, in whom the Spirit of God resides because of our invitation, our yielding our life to Him, seeking His forgiveness, and asking Him to come into our home. Beloved, I urge you, as fill in your own words there, sojourners and exiles, strangers and aliens, pilgrims, foreigners, people not of this world, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. So the rest of the time, we're going to be in the book of Matthew. You can turn to chapter 17 if you want. So this is Peter in his, we just read Peter's words in his epistle, his letter that he wrote, the first one. He is writing to believers, Christian people, and to remind them that you are not of this world. You are of another kingdom. And you are here as an alien, as a stranger. So, the Word of God is so cool. You can read it, and just on its surface, it's entertaining, it's good stories, it's well written. But the deeper you look into it, the more there is. And the more you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, and the more you ask Him, the more He's willing to show you. So it's a lifetime of learning. There's an entire lifetime of learning here. And so we get to hear, near the end of Peter's life, what he wrote, speaking of believers as strangers and aliens, but we can go back to Matthew 17, and we can actually find where he learned that. Guess who he learned that from? We're in church, so Jesus is probably a safe answer, right? He learned it from Jesus himself. So in Matthew 17, I want to read a few verses, starting in with verse 24. If you have a heading there, the heading in my Bible says the temple tax. So, this is typical Jesus, just out on mission with his followers, and as they go, opportunities arise, teaching opportunities, and he seizes them and takes advantage of them, and here's one of them. When they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax went up to Peter and says, "Does your teacher not pay the tax?" He said, "Yes," and when he came to the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take toll or tax? From their sons or from others?" And when he said from others, Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free. However, not to give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for yourself." We'll pray. Almighty God, thank you for your word that we've just read. There's a lot here in these few little verses to unpack, a lot of revelation and teaching. Anoint me afresh this moment as your speaker. Speak through me and let hearts and minds be open to what you have to say to this group of strangers and aliens today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Jesus, confronted with this question, he turns to Peter and he asks him this question: who do the kings of this earth take their taxes from? So, this is a question that is suggesting that there's more than one type of kingdom. He asked about specifically the kings of this earth. In other words, there are other kings. But the kings of this earth, where do they take, who do they tax? Do they tax their children or do they tax others to get their money? Well, they tax others. Peter gets that one right. That's an easy one. He gets it right. And Jesus says that's correct. And then he points out something. Sons are free. But in order not to offend, go to the sea and cast a hook in it. There's a principle here that Jesus is passing on to Peter. He says, you and I are sons of our Father. We do not belong to this world. We are of another world, and that's the world where we pay our tribute. But because we're here, while we're here, we don't want to be offensive. We're here for the benefit of these people, and they have a set of rules that they live by and govern. So while we're here, we're going to live by these rules. And it's the same thing that he was talking about in Matthew 22. The Pharisees were plotting against him, always trying to trip him up. And so they asked him one day, do you think it's lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? If you remember your history, Caesar was a Roman emperor. He wasn't the Jewish king. He was the Roman king. He was there ruling over them. He was in power, had asserted his power over them. And he wasn't whom God had established there. So they think, oh, here's a good one. We're going to get him on this one. We're going to ask him this hard question, and we'll trip him up on this. So is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar? Because if he says yes, then, well, we thought you were faithful to God. If he says no, then he's leading an insurrection. So they think they have him, and they ask him, but it's Jesus. Right? It's Jesus. Man, full of Holy Spirit. And they're not going to trip him up. So he very wisely says, may I see the coin that you use to pay the tax? They're like, all right, he's playing along, we'll play along. So they give him a coin, and he asks him, whose image and inscription is on this coin? Caesar's. Like, well, then render unto Caesar what is Caesar, and unto God what is God. And it says that they marveled, and they walked away from him. I want to point out that Jesus was fully man, as we are. He is a human being, but he was empowered by the Spirit of God. And so, that's where his wisdom came from. He was a man, and in his flesh, in his manliness, he did not know everything. He was relying upon the Spirit of God within him to give him a good answer in that moment. And boy, he did. He knocked that one out of the park. He was modeling the way we are to live our life. We are so aware of our limitations and our frailty and that we're just humans and we're destined to sin. But he modeled the life, so yield the Holy Spirit who's in us, who will give us the right answer at the right time. If only we will listen to him, get tuned into him, listen to him, hear him, and he will speak through us. So, Jesus had already established the fact that there is a rendering to Caesar what is Caesar's, but also a rendering to God what is God's. So he tells Peter, go and catch a fish. There will be a coin in its mouth. You can take it and pay the tax. We don't want to be offensive here. We'll play by their rules because we are here in their place for right now. We are not this world. So I want to say to you today, church, those of us that have been born again, and I assume that that's probably most everyone here, that we're here on a Sunday morning. We've set this time apart. We're here because we're children of God. We came to terms at some point in our life with the fact that we're lost, that we're sinful, and that sin has separated us from God, and that we received him into our heart and have yielded our life to him, and that he is our Lord, our Savior, that his Spirit is in us. So as children, if that has happened already in your life, and if it hasn't, I got great news. You can do that today and take care of that now. But to those who have been born again, we are not of this world. We are strangers. We are aliens here. We are children of the kingdom. And as children of the kingdom, we get to partake of the rights as children of the kingdom. So in the kingdom, who pays the taxes? Well, I got good news. It's not the sons and daughters. It's not us. That's been provided for us. We have a Father who has provided for us. It is the gospel of the kingdom. We've heard of the gospel message. We talk about the gospel of forgiveness, the gospel of grace, and all those things are true and important. But Jesus, if you pay attention to his wording, he often, over and again, especially in the teaching of the parables, he would say, the kingdom of heaven is like unto. The kingdom of heaven is like unto. The kingdom of heaven is like unto. And in another place, he said, my kingdom is not of this earth. He was talking about a kingdom which is to come, which was to come, has come, and will come in its fullness. But it is already here. And that's my message to you today. We are already people of the kingdom. So this world is not our kingdom. So, as children of the kingdom, we have the rights of sons and daughters. So maybe to help illustrate this, think about your own house. If you have children, you have grandchildren, do they have to ask you to get into the refrigerator? Maybe we little. But your adult children, if they're at your house, do they need to ask you to get into the fridge? No, right? All that you have is theirs. They are, okay, maybe there's some exceptions. I see some. We'll talk about our perfect Father. Our perfect Father, who cleans up our messes, is not trying to keep us out of the fridge. As his sons and daughters, we have full access to the fridge. And we can go there, and we can eat as we will, and we can receive as we will. And he even encourages us to come to seek him as our source. Yeah, he tells us, you have not because you ask not, or because you ask with wrong intention. He encourages us. He wants to be, one of his names is Jehovah Jireh, which means my provider. That's who he wants to look for. We have shortcutted the process. I'll use credit cards as an example. We get in financial trouble and we go put it on plastic. What if you could pump the brakes a minute and just go and ask the Father, Lord, here's a bill that's come in. It's out of the ordinary. I don't have the money to pay this. I'm going to look to you for provision. Your word says you care about the birds of the air, the flowers of the field. I'm going to give you an opportunity to step in. You see the due date. If you don't step in, I can still put it on my card later. But how about I just ask? You willing to do something like, do you do stuff like that? Good. Good. I encourage you to all the more. I used to have this mindset that he was just worried about, just concerned about my Sunday morning, Wednesday evening ministry stuff. And in the last few years, he's just blown my mind to help me realize he likes what I like. He's interested in my hobbies. He's interested in my leisure time. He wants to be there with me when I'm kicked back and relaxed, not writing a sermon, not doing anything quote-unquote ministry-related per se. He likes spending time. And that is an awesome reality when you begin to walk in that and experience that. So as children, we have access to God's fridge. We have access to the things of the kingdom. We have access that others are trying to get. Other people that don't understand how it works are trying to work their way into the kingdom. By their good deeds, by their works, by their charity, by their thoughts, that we call those things religion. And that's a word we have to spend some time and work with, but there's a spirit of religion that is all about trying to work our way there and not receiving the free gift that God has for us. And it is a gift. Our salvation is a gift. Romans 8 makes it really clear. It says that we have an inheritance from our Heavenly Father, and it actually calls us joint heirs with Jesus. You understand what that means? That Jesus is the Son of God, and as the Son, he is the heir to everything that is his Father's. And Paul tells us in Romans 8 that we are joint heirs with Jesus. That the things that the Lord has for him are for us just the same. that he sent him to earth to live the life that he did, not just to give it up, but to model for us what a life is to look like. That we are people with a sin nature and completely capable of completely messing everything up. But in spite of that, we can walk in the Spirit of God and learn throughout the course of our life to listen to him, to get tuned into him, to walk as he leads us, to recognize those things, the blessings that are from above, the ministering angels that God sends into our path that gives us words of warning or are there at just the right time with exactly what we need to save our baby. And there's no way it just happens. And the more that you press into that and the more you recognize that and see it, the more you realize, I don't do anything. I didn't get myself here today. I tend to think, you know, stick the key in the ignition, head up the road, and it's all good. I don't have any idea of all the hazards that were in my way, all the things that had to work and happen and take place just to be here. We take so much stuff for granted. You know what? We're not really promised another breath, right? That each one is a gift from God every day. And so we need to live it as his children of an understanding that we're not the ones who pay the taxes in the kingdom. Not that it's a free ride. Somebody paid our debt. And that's Jesus. But before he paid that sacrifice, he modeled the perfect life, the life by the Spirit that we're supposed to be living now. Romans 10, 9 and 10 makes it easy for us. If we can actually believe, if we can just believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord and confess with our mouth, then we shall be saved. There's nobody to kill. That is easy. That's the good news. But the deal is, the moment you do that, you're born again, you become a babe in Christ. And that's a wonderful thing. Everybody likes a brand new baby for a little while. But you come back and see that baby later, you expect to see some change, right? You want to see growth. It's no longer okay after a while for them to soil themselves or to be so needy or to cry so much. That we're to grow, we're to mature, and that through time we should begin to look differently. And not everybody does. That doesn't happen by default. And I think God's given so many examples, but to me the children of Israel are the perfect example of that. They spent 400 years in Egypt in slavery, but they prosper the whole time. They went there 70 people and come out probably a couple million people. And they pray for all this time to be delivered, and in a short amount of time, God delivers them. He brings them out of Egypt through the plagues. They not only leave, but they plunder the places they go. The Egyptians give them all their riches to take with them. Go. Just go. Don't come back. Go and be gone from our presence. So they leave there delivered from slavery. They are finally free. They have the monetary means upon them to go do something. They're headed to a promised land and they get away. The army comes up behind them. God parts the sea and allows them to walk through on dry ground. When the last one gets across, the sea closes up again, destroys the Egyptian army that they are never again known. They get off into the wilderness. They get thirsty. God gives them water from a rock. They get hungry. God gives them bread from heaven. They complain that there's not enough, that there's no meat, and he gives them quail. There is a cloud. They're out in the desert, so there's a cloud in the day that hovers over them. Stay under the cloud, and you are where I want you to be. Cloud moves, you move too. Stay under that cloud, and you're where you're supposed to be. At nighttime when it's cold, there's a pillar of fire. And God's presence is with them all the time in a tangible way. Just look up. Yeah, it's a fresh day, and there's fresh manna coming down. There's all their needs are met. But guess what happened? They didn't grow. They stayed spiritually immature. And every time, even with all that provision, every time something went wrong, they grumbled. They complained to the point that God, you know what? You're not going to make it. I'll take the children across. You're not going to make it. It is possible for us to be saved, to receive the salvation of God, but spend the rest of our lives spiritually immature. God doesn't want us to do that. So he gives us messages like this to say, hey, you know what? We're doing good, but there's more. There's more. You like having an angel come and deliver you? Guess what? I got more stuff in store. Just, I want you to be anticipated. So, let's see, where was I? So, don't stay a child. So let's go back to the coin in the fish's mouth. Who finds that part of the story interesting? In the natural, what do you think the chances are of going out and catching a fish and having a coin? One in a billion? I don't know. I don't even know about that. I don't know. At this moment, how many fish are in the world with a coin in them? Maybe somewhere in some pastor's office, a taxidermy fish for a sermon illustration from long ago. It doesn't happen, right? You see what Jesus did? Jesus used tools to communicate. He was an excellent communicator, so he used tools. He used exaggeration. Why are you worried about the speck in your brother's eye when you've got a plank in your own? Is that even humanly possible? No. He's using exaggeration to make a point. And that's what he does here. I'm going to do something so outlandish, Peter, that you're going to have to recognize, like, this is not of this world. So in the same time he's telling them, we're not of this world. This world is not our home. We are of a kingdom that is it's a higher calling, a higher kingdom. He does something just that should have blown him away. Go out, take a hook, go out, catch a fish. When you catch the fish, there'll be a coin in its mouth. It's just enough to pay our temple tax. Isn't that cool? Isn't that neat? That's the God that we serve. You say, that's beyond the laws of science. And I say, ding, 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 ding. Yes, yes, that's what I want you to understand. That there are laws of nature, laws of science. And as long as we're operating in the natural, we're not going to break them. I'll try it. I'm going to try to defy gravity. I'm going to stay up there this time. I can't do it, can I? Because I'm subject to the law of the natural in the moment. But we have been invited by our Heavenly Father, who's not of this world, come and be part of His supernatural kingdom. And it's not all about when we die. And I think that probably we pastors over time misled people that had this mentality that you got to get right with God because someday you want to go to heaven when you die. And that's not the gospel message. The gospel message is that you turn your life to Him now and let heaven come and invade you and be a messenger and ambassador for heaven now. Not that it so changes your thinking. If you think it's all in the future, it's very defeating. We just got to duck down and try to hang in there and hope Jesus comes tomorrow and gets us out of this mess. As opposed to the thinking that God's put heaven to me so I can be light in a place of darkness and I can walk into places where there's no hope and share the good news of Jesus and see people brought up out of their seemingly hopeless reality and receiving the hope of eternal life. For even now. Not just at retirement, but even now and already. That's what God has for us. So, as a son or daughter, we have access to supernatural things. Being a part of the family just gives us that access, just like His fridge. It's your credentials, it's your backstage pass to everything that God has. We should be believing for and walking in a lot of things. The things that are in God's fridge, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, patience, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control, the things against which there is no law. We should be looking for God's supernatural peace, a peace in our life that's there regardless of the storm. The kind of peace that Jesus had that let Him sleep through that storm that had the disciples think that they were dead. God has supernatural healings for us. The book of James tells us to confess our faults one to another and pray for one another that we may be healed, that the effectual, fervent prayer of righteous people avails much. That there's actually healing. Has anyone experienced a miraculous healing in their lifetime? We had a son. It's another one of those stories. If we took 15 minutes, like you said, and talked, we could tell that story, but we have experienced that. We've seen that. That God has done that. There are wonderful things that God has for us, but we have to be able to believe for those things. And I just want to challenge you today where you are in your asking. When's the last time that you asked God for something big enough that the only way it's going to happen is if He does it? You can ask for a nice day tomorrow, but a lot of days are nice days, right? Having a nice day on the day you really need a nice day, like for an outdoor wedding, that might take God's attention. But just asking for a nice day, I'm talking about something big. I'm talking about asking Him for something that's so big that when He answers, there's no question that you know that God did that very thing. He wants us. He's saying, come on, test me in this. Ask me. Try to outgive me and see what I will do. If I don't open up the windows of heaven with my provision for you. So just some closing thoughts. As children of God, we're here on a mission, and it's not our mission. We've been commissioned to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them and raising them up, teaching them His ways. That's what we are here for. That's why we're here as strangers and aliens, so we can come here and make converts. Understand that the one who sent us here is coming back again. And part of that coming back again is us standing before Him, according to Matthew 25, and being sorted out. And whether we're on His right or His left depends on what we did with what He did. Did we care about the naked, the poor, the homeless, the hungry, the imprisoned among us? So while we're here, we're to here, live here, to follow what He told the children of Israel when they went into exile in Babylon. He let them know, you're going to be there for a while. Your fathers did not listen to me, and I warned you, and this time is coming, and you're going into exile. Good news is, I'm still going with you. I'll be there with you, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to go there. I want you to build houses. I want you to plant gardens. I want you to give and receive and marriage. And most importantly, remember who you are. Remember whose you are. Remember that you are only there for a time, and you are there for a purpose. And I will bring you back. And that's exactly what He says to us today. He's put us here, and there are things of this earth that we need. There are things that He wants us to enjoy, but that is not what it's all about. It's not all about our dress or our 401k or the car we drive or hobbies or how many channels we have or what. All those things. Those things are I don't even know if they're all necessities. Maybe we feel that they are. They are luxuries in many ways. But there are a few things that are truly necessary. And that is that we love the Lord our God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that we love our neighbor as ourselves. In other words, we love others enough to share the good news of Jesus. Almighty God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for a reminder today from just Peter's experience with You, Jesus, that this world is not our home, that we are here as strangers and aliens for a time. We're just passing through, but we are here very intently, and we know that that's about our salvation, that we need to give our lives to You, but let us not stop there. Let us not fall short. Let us recognize that there is a lost and dying world out there. Let us see the needs in our country and the world around us, the darkness that is so pervasive right now. And let us understand that we are Your solution, that You did what You need to do, and now we need to do our part and let Your light shine through us. Lord, I pray for this church. I thank You for their faithfulness here to gather and to meet and to preach Your word, to sing Your praise, and I just lift them up before You right now in this time of transition. They are Your children. Your fridge is open to them. Your arm is not short concerning them. You have a shepherd for this flock, and I know that in Your time, You will bring that shepherd. In the meantime, I thank You for the leadership that they have. I just pray that Your peace be upon them. And I pray for the ones here today. If anyone does not yet know You, that today they would just stick around for a moment. Come to know You in a personal way. I pray for those that have heard the message today as believers and that they're inspired to continue to grow in You. sins and pray in Jesus' name.
Father, we have decided to follow you here today. Dear Lord, as we leave this place, help us to follow you in all that we do. Help us to be an angel, dear Lord. Help us to help someone else see you through us. In what we say, what we do, how we act. And dear Lord, just give us an opportunity to show that to someone. And just be with us, dear Lord. Walk with us. Guide us and direct us. Be with us until we meet again. In Jesus' name.